Hello and welcome to Loneliness or Sexopedia. I'm your host, Sarah, and today we're focusing on intimacy, sexual health, and relationships, particularly for Gen X. Joining me is Renee Yvonne, a certified sex coach and Gen Sexologist. We will discuss challenges like hormonal changes, menopauses, and erectile dysfunction, and other practical tips for reconnecting and maintaining intimacy as we age. Renee, thank you for being here. Could you share a bit about your journey into sex coaching and working with Gen X?
Sure. My name is Renee Yvonne. I am a certified sex counselor and educator, and I've been doing this since 2020, right when the pandemic started, when everybody was home and trying to figure out, what do I do now? My partner was here all day long with me. I got started in this work because I was in a sexless relationship for about 6 years, and sexless is defined as having sex 10 or fewer times per year. And I wasn't sure what was going on, what was happening. I was taking a lot of classes, trying to fix the issue. And it turned out that my partner had was taking a medication that caused low libido. But I didn't find that out till later. So in taking all these classes, I met some women who were also in the same situation. And we started talking, and one of them said, you know, you should go to school for this. And so I went back to school, and it was a 2-year program at Sex Coach U, got my certification, and haven't looked back. So I've been working primarily with people who are over 50 and dealing with all the sexual issues that come up when you are older or on medication or having chronic pain, going through menopause, that kind of thing. That's where I specialize in.
Sounds fascinating, and I love the way that you help people, you know, achieve a better version of their love life. What are the common issues people encounter when they go to you?
The most common one is people being in a relationship and they're not having the amount of sex that they want to have. So I won't call it sexless per se, but they'd like to have more sex, more frequent sex. And the other one is trying new things. People are kind of like a little bored. I want to do something different, but I'm not sure what, and I'm not sure how my partner is going to respond if I say, I want to try this thing. And what they're going to say. So that those are the two I see the most.
All right. And I'm really curious, what are the tricks you would offer them? What are the advice?
Oh, wow. So many things. It really depends on the couple, right? And so for some people, if the issue is that they're not having as much sex as they want, what I often tell them is schedule it. And a lot of people think, oh, that's not romantic, because, you know, Hollywood has this kind of believing that sex is supposed to be spontaneous and you're just supposed to kiss and fall into bed and everything is great and, you know, sweaty and the whole thing just works, right? And in reality, that's not most people's lives. And what happens is they just keep going on day after day, not having the intimacy and pleasure they desire. And because they keep thinking it's just going to spontaneously happen. So I often tell couples when they're in a situation like this, I said, schedule it. And they're like, oh, that's not romantic. And I'm like, well, you know what's not romantic is sex and not having sex. And so schedule it. And what it does is it puts a little bit of anticipation and excitement into the sex again. So it's a little bit like when you're planning a vacation and you're like, okay, we're going to, you know, the Bahamas and in June, right? And you start planning it now. You're excited about it. You're thinking about what clothes you're going to wear. You're getting your airline tickets, what hotel we're going to stay at, what activities we're going to do. And it builds this anticipation. It does the same thing when you schedule sex. And so if you say, all right, Thursday night, 9 o'clock is on. And what you do is you start thinking of, oh, maybe I should get some lingerie. Maybe I should make a meal for us or have a meal brought in or have a chef come in and cook for us. Make sure, Everything's cleaned up. Maybe you get a housekeeper. You're like, okay, we'll have a place clean. Maybe you redecorate the bedroom a little bit, get new sheets. But it brings this level of anticipation to that relationship that wasn't there before, where you were just expecting it to just magically happen.
Yeah. And a lot of times that people are acting in a really contradictory way is we think we really need good sex, but we don't really actually pay attention to it. As you said, like, there are tricks like scheduling, and mm-hmm. we clean up the room and do something for each other, then that will help you to add up the spices. But yeah, what we normally do in life is just, you know, when we become horny, we just feel, oh, you know what, it's time. But yeah, probably is not the time for the other person. Well, one thing I'm quite curious is that, because you've been like working with so many clients, right? And some of them, they are like at their 30s, some of them they're at their like 50s. I'm curious, so do you think more people at their 30s experience libido discrepancy, or more people at their like 50s experience this issues?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know that I have the data on that. I could say it could happen at pretty much any age where there's a libido discrepancy. And it could be for a variety of reasons, from, like I said, taking a medication. It could be stress. It could be people like expecting the sex to be spontaneous all the time. And sometimes what has to happen is you have to get into the act and then you're ready. So sometimes it may take a kiss, a hug, being close to the person, and suddenly like, oh, I'm in the mood. I was in the mood 10 minutes ago, but I'm in the mood now. And so that can happen at any, I mean, from the clients I've seen, that happens, you know, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, just kind of happens depending on what's going on in their life. So I don't have the data. That's a great question. I wish I had the data on that. Like,
thanks.
Hormones change that.
No,
too,
it was on me. Sorry, it's like too tricky or something. Yeah, I'm just, because I recently came across a research paper in Japan, and they say like it is more common for a man at their 30s or 40s to experience lack of sexual desire or even erectile dysfunction compared to men probably in like their 50s to 80s. And that's a little bit counterintuitive, but the research says it was because a lot of stresses in their life, for example, work, family, kids, and that leads to middle-aged men, they just, you know, lose interest or something. But for senior citizens, they're retired and healthy enough to have sex drive, so they normally have a sex drive higher than expected. So that leads to a little bit social issue. I don't know if it's like off the topic, but yeah, about senior citizens looking for prostitutes or buy sex. So that's a bit complicated. That's where this question comes from. All right. Okay. Yeah. And
I can see that happening. I can see that, because you don't have the stressors. Like if you're older, especially if your kids are out of the house, you don't have that stress. Like, when are we going to have sex? We got to get the kids out of the house. Like, you don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of relaxing to it.
It is. I mean, it's super stressful as at a certain phase of your life. Well, one more thing I'd like to ask about aging and sex is that as people age, you know, sexual experience can change. And what are the most noticeable shifts, especially for couples that would experience in their 40s, 50s, or beyond?
There's several things. So one is desires, there's changing desires. And so what you wanted when you were like maybe 20 or 30, which may have been like a whole lot of sex or a whole lot of really quick, you know, I just want to with different people or something like that, your desires change and you're kind of like, I want one person. I want to maybe settle down with that person. I want to be really intimate with them. I don't want to just have sex and leave. And so sometimes it's your desires that change. Sometimes it's libido, which we talked about earlier. So sometimes it's hormonal changes, and that's something that happens to all of us, men and women. And so for women, we go through menopause where our estrogen, our progesterone, our testosterone levels drop, and that can lead to vaginal dryness. It leads to low libido. It leads to night sweats. And so oftentimes when you talk to your doctor will put you on some type of hormone replacement to help with that, to help bring those levels up. But men experience something very similar called andropause. And for those guys, their testosterone levels drop and their estrogen levels increase. And men do have a little bit of estrogen. Those increase, and that's sometimes why they, like, they may feel a little flabby, or they're getting like a little punch in their stomach where they used to always be buff, and all of a sudden they're like struggling with this. And so that happens sometimes too. And that can just come from, that low libido can just come from, I used to be this person and now my body is different. And there's some body image issues that may go on where you're not, you know, you're not 20, everything isn't perky anymore. So those can cause some issues. The other one is boredom. Like sometimes if you've been with your partner for a while, you set into this way of doing things all the time. And sometimes people need something to kind of spice it up. And so they might decide like, oh, let's try something kinky, or let's open up our relationship and bring somebody else in, or let's buy a toy and try the toy out. And so sometimes that's the sexual shift that happens, that we're bored and we're like, I don't want to leave my partner. I love this person, but we just can't keep having sex the same way all the time. I need something different to bring into the relationship. And so those things happen.
Yeah. And I agree, especially when you are in a relationship that lasts for 10 years or 20 years, it's always good to be more creative in the bedroom. And yeah, well, I know like a lot of clients that you work with are experiencing something called erectile dysfunction. Could you please like introduce to us about the like how erectile function symptoms?
Yeah, so erectile dysfunction is common, I'll say, for some people. And what happens is that there's not enough blood flow going to the penis to keep it erect. And so and there's a lot of reasons why that happened. Stress, it could be, again, medication that they're taking that's causing this. It could be there's just poor, this illness. So there could be like diabetes or high blood pressure, and there's something preventing the blood flow from going there. And so the things that you can do when we're talking about erectile dysfunction is, first of all, to talk about it. Like, don't be silent with your partner and just like not say anything. Like, I'm just not gonna have sex, I'm not gonna say anything, I don't wanna admit this. Like, that doesn't help anybody to not talk about it. The second thing is to see a doctor, find out what the real reason is, because there could be an illness there, like diabetes or high blood pressure or something else that's keeping you from having an erection. The third thing people can do is to try cock ring. And so for some people, it may just be the blood flow. Like, there may be nothing wrong, but they need something to just keep the blood flow there. And so the thing you can get there is, they come in all kinds. Like, so there's some that are stretchy, there's some that are metal, there's some are more stretchy than others. And so for what happens with a cock ring is that you put it on at the base of the penis, and the blood flow, as you see, it's constricting. So it constricts it, and so the blood flow will stay there and keep everything erect. You can even, some people will even put it around the testicles too. So you can do that if you want, around the testicles. And then you have this, you know, so it's, the blood flow stays there. So that's something you can do too. The other thing is when addressing erectile dysfunction is to get away from the idea that it has to be erect. And so for some people, they need to be relaxed in this situation, and the stress of like, I have to get hard, I gotta get hard, I gotta get hard, actually is counterintuitive. And so now they just can't get hard because they're always thinking about it. And so one thing your partner could do for you is called a penis massage. It has a lot of different names, lingam massage, cock worshiping, it has a lot of names. But what you can do is, a simple technique is to get your hands nice and oily with coconut oil or jojoba oil. And one simple tip is to take your, the pads of your thumb and just work it up. This ridge right here is called the raphe. So you want to take your fingers and just kind of go up that, along that ridge. When you get here to the frenulum, You could just rub it a little and then come back down doing the same thing. That's called a shiatsu massage. And so there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different techniques you can do for that. But that's one of the things you can do, is to help your partner relax. And the whole goal is to not pressure them to feel like they have to have an erection or an orgasm. The whole idea is to relax them so that they can naturally have an erection if they want, or if they don't, it's okay. It's all about pleasure. It's not about erections.
Yeah, and I love the down-to-earth like spirit that you are sharing those techniques now. Like, because normally when I talk to a lot of sexologists, you know, not everyone, they really pay attention to tricks. Some of them, they work with spirits, with energies, and that's more abstract to me. Well, which is why I think, like, what you're, like, doing now is really helpful, and I'm literally going to try this out, this evening. Yeah. Yay, I'm going to write you an essay on this. Right.
Oh, great.
Okay, yeah. So, what do you think are the common causes of ED, or any approach that people can actually deal with it? For example, go to a doctor or have Viagra, or are there any other ways?
Viagra is certainly certainly an option for people, as well as there's a mixture that's called, it's a customized mixture called Trimix. It's an injectable into the penis, and sometimes men will use that when Viagra isn't working, Cialis, all of those in that category. I mean, it's definitely an option after you go to the doctor and try it out. Because I'm not a doctor, I try to stay like, let's do the things that we know can work. It may not be medical just yet. And then when you see your doctor, if that's really an issue, like it's really just a blood flow issue because of an illness, then that's an option. Like I'm happy for whatever people want to use, but because I'm not a doctor, I can't say, yeah, go get some Viagra, but I'd like to try some other things first before people get on medication.
Right, and well, usually for us, in Asian culture, we have this thing is, like we have a stereotype towards medicine like Viagra. We don't think it's healthy, and we believe in herbs and something natural to actually revitalize you and your energy and something like that. So that's why a lot of people, they have this kind of stereotype. And another problem is they are terrified is once they use too much Viagra, it stops working. Mm-hmm. And they have to receive other treatments. Well,
And
one more thing, like I would really like to ask you about is, you know, how would you destigmatize erectile dysfunction? Because in many culture or in many relationships, people think it's really shameful to, you know, to admit that they actually have erectile dysfunction. Well, I talked to a couple and the guy are suffering like erectile dysfunction, but he's too shameful to talk to his wife about this. So how do we start this conversation? What are the, you know, what are your words that will like destigmatize this whole thing?
This is good because like a lot of times what someone will say is, but like the partner in the relationship will say like, it's okay, you know, we'll work through it. And sometimes that's not what the guy wants to hear. He's like, it's not okay. It's not okay to move. And so you want to give your partner the space to say like, I'm not okay with this, especially if this is like, this has been a part of it. Like I've been able to get an erection all these years and now all of a sudden I can't seem to keep one or get one. And so that becomes a problem. So I think having those conversations is really important when you're talking about, it doesn't make you less of a man. But I want us to experience pleasure while we're working through this. And so that's why I talk about, there's a couple of things I do. One is couples pleasure mapping. that work do with couples. And couples pleasure mapping is about taking a variety of different sensory things. It could be your hands, it could be a feather, it might be a piece of fur, but you're touching your partner in different places, in different ways on their body to see what feels mm-hmm. good to them. And sometimes what we have to think about is, how do we expand the definition of sex? That's what I like to talk about with people, especially as we get older. We've gotten to this place where it's like, sex is about penis and vagina, it's about penetration. And if we expand it into oral, if we expand it into touching, if we expand it into kissing and intimacy, there's a whole plethora of stuff that we're missing out on because we're focused on penetration. So couples pleasure mapping can take something it can take something like a flogger like this that has the soft ends on it. And flares. It has the soft ends on it. And so you can run this over your partner's body. This isn't one that's meant to be whipped. This is one that you mm-hmm. can run over their body. And so seeing like, does this feel good to them? And helping them realize that you can experience pleasure in a different way. Or if you are like something a little more, and testing things out, like I'm all about testing things out. Taking something like a Wartenberg wheel that has, you know, 3, 5, 7 different little wheels on it. And they're a little prickly, but running that on the body to see, like, how does that feel to you? Seeing how you can stimulate them in other ways, I think is really important. It could be body paint. It might be massage candles. I like massage candles because they've melted a lower temperature. And you could take the oil that's in there and rub it on their body and massage it in. So there's a lot of different ways you can experience couples pleasure mapping to see like what feels good to them. And then the other one is the Venus massage that I was mentioning. And there's lots of different ways to stroke and rub and massage his penis and letting him know in the beginning, this is not about you getting hard. It's not about you having an orgasm. This is about you just laying back and enjoying it. And sometimes that's what needs to happen so that your partner can relax. And they might have an erection. They might not. And it's okay. But at the end of it, you want to just see, like, did that feel mm-hmm. good to you to just have this part of your body taken yeah. care of in a very, you know.
Right. You're right. And a lot of times that we really have to embrace the moment. We have to let go the tension and enjoy what's happening. Well, a lot of people, they're also experiencing sexless marriage or relationship. And that directly leads to frustration, which makes it incredibly hard to reconnect that like the way you just talk about. Right? How can we do this?
Yeah, when it's there, when you're in that relationship and it's like, we're just not having sex, some of the things I like to do, like I mentioned, was one is to schedule it. Because sometimes, it depends, let me say this, it depends on why it's happening. Like, are you in a sexless relationship because somebody in the relationship has cheated? Like, that's one thing, and that's a whole different building block that you have to deal with. But sometimes it's just life. Like, life goes on. We get up, we go to work, we, you know, come home, we cook dinner, you sit on, you know, you sit down, you watch Netflix for 2 hours, it's time to go to bed. Like, and all of that, you haven't connected with your spouses. And you do that, like, one day is fine, then it's three, then it's 3 weeks, then it's a month, then it's, you know. And so sometimes you have to reconnect and communicate, like, what's going on with us? Like, I miss us. And sometimes you just have to say that, like, I miss us. How can we get back to where we were? And be honest about that. Like, I miss what we did. And then schedule sex. Like, schedule it. Like, right there, schedule it. Because otherwise, it just won't happen. Sometimes we need a date night. Like, I think we forget about dating each other, too, when we're getting a long-term relationship. And sometimes we need to have, like, a fun date where we're, you know, doing something we both really enjoy. It could be a movie, it could be dinner, it could be ice skating, it could be, you know, something that we both were cooking a meal together, and we're doing those things together, and that brings that closeness back. And we're like, you know, we haven't done this in a long time, and you kind of see each other in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people, I'm like, you know what, I want you to go to an adult store or go online, look at, you know, and look around and find a toy or two that both of you can use. You can use on each other, you can use it on yourself. And so sometimes that's a fun thing to do for people. And so there's lots of couples toys. One of the ones, I really like this company, it's called Fun Factory. And I like them because their toys are multi-purpose. And so like this one is called the Manta. And it's really, it's a penis massager. You need a lot of lube, and you have to use water-based lube on silicone toys so that they don't degrade. But you put it on there, and it'll vibrate. And a lot of men don't usually get things that vibrate, but this is something you can use that vibrates. But also, it's good on the testicles, so you can put on testicles. You can play with it on the nipples of your other partner. And it also, because of the wings, you can use it on the clitoris. So it's a very multi-purpose toy. I like toys that have like a multi-purpose use. So those are some things you could do to kind of reconnect with each other. If it's not something emotional going on, if it's something emotional, you're gonna have to deal with that before you get to the sex parts. You know, if you've got a, you know, you're dealing with the death of a family member, that like that may take some time, right? You're dealing with infidelity. That's going to take some time. But if it's just life got in the way and we just kind of drifted apart, you can drift back together. You know, you don't have to work at it, but you can.
Yes, I love the way you said we can always drift back together. That's right. It's just like we need to take effort. And, well, we have erectile dysfunction, and how does age, you know, affect sex in our life? Women ages as well. So I'm really curious on the impact of hormonal changes and menopause on sexuality for us. Well, this question is from me. Like, there is this kind of rumor going around saying, hey, you know what? If women reach, when women reaches menopause, we will be dry as F. Is it true? Is it true?
It can. It depends on the woman. Like, some women are like, oh, good. Like, I'm never having a problem with that. And then for some women, they get dry. And so there's ways to fix that. So if you're dealing with that, especially if it's painful to have sex, what you want to do is use lube. And so there's different kinds of lube I'll talk about. There's water-based lube. This is made by Bergen Candy. And there's another company called Slickwood. It makes it, unfortunately, the founder, the owner, just passed away a few weeks ago, so I don't know what's happening with the company, but they make really good lube, and it's tasty. Wow. That's what I like about it. Like, it's,
wait, I didn't know, like, tasty. You can actually eat those. Okay.
Yes.
Fun fact, so you guys.
Like, these
lubes are edible. That's my biggest take of the day.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm. So this is green apple. This one is tangerine peach. And so you would just apply this. Now, these are water-based. Water-based lubes are great for any type of silicone-based toy, like this one I showed you here. You want to use these kind on these kind of toys. But these are good for any type of sexual play too, like oral sex or anything like that. However, because they're water-based, they absorb into the body quickly. And so you'll have to use quite a bit of it. The other kind is called Uber Lube, it's a silicone lube. Uber Lube, you can get it almost any adult shop. It's a silicone-based lube. It's a little bit thicker. You cannot use those on silicone-based toys, but they're great for the body, to use on the body, because it's slick and it doesn't absorb as fast as a water-based lube does. Also, fun fact about Uber Lube. Uber Lube is great for if you run or you do any type of athletics and you chafe, like skin rubs together, Uber Lube is great for that. It's also great in a pinch. If your hair is frizzy, you put it in your hand and just like run it through. So Uber Lube is great for that. This other one is a coconut oil base. Again, it's good for the body. It lasts a long time. It has a slight vanilla taste. It's not very overpowering. But this is also good for the body, but not for toys, not for silicone toys. But you can use this. And this helps keep everything wet and moist. And that's what you really want. You want to keep things wet and juicy for sex. So lube is what people use. And you can use lube at any time. You don't have to wait until menopause.
Definitely.
Use lube. Wetter is better.
Thanks. Thank you for the lecture, Professor. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
All right. So it's really good to know that actually, even if, you know, when we face menopause, like things still work out with lubes, but you can always use some tubes and something, you know, that's helpful. So one more thing that I'm actually really have been like lingering around is that, so when we are experiencing menopause, is it going to affect our sexual desire? Are we still going to, you know, want to have sex?
It can for some people. Like that's the thing I probably see or hear a lot is guys saying like, my wife's going through menopause and she doesn't want to have sex anymore. So it can do that. What helps is getting a little bit, because again, your hormone levels are decreasing, especially women have a little bit of testosterone. So testosterone is dropping, estrogen is dropping, progesterone is dropping. All these things are what kind of give us that vigor and vim and all that excitement. And so this is the time where you should really go to your doctor, talk about this and get them to give you, ask them to give you some type of hormone replacement, something they call it bioidentical. So it's very similar to what your body already makes. And then that should help bring those levels up so that you feel that romance again, that sexiness again. But the other thing is, again, there's so many things going on. Like, is it just the hormones that are keeping you there? Or are you just tired? Like, sometimes you're just tired, right? It's the end of the week, or the end of the day, you've done all this stuff. It's the end of the week, you're exhausted. And so sometimes you just need to be in a different environment, or you just need that opportunity to just kind of relax and rest. And then you'll find that, like, okay, I'm in the mood again. Or you can, you know, again, communicate with your partner, like, I want to, I have a desire to, but I need some help getting there. And that can mean, again, going to a place and finding a new toy. It could be a hotel stay somewhere and just, you know, you get the chance to relax and you have a chance to reconnect with your partner without any distractions. And so that can also be it. Like, you're just exhausted and you just need a chance to just kind of regroup and refocus. But I would check the hormones first. Like, check those hormone levels first and just feel like, every time you look, you're like, I don't want to, no, don't talk to me. Like, don't touch me. And then that's, you should definitely go to the doctor.
Right. Right. Thank you for solving this kind of mystery for us, because as a woman, I think there are a lot of women like me. We have this fear of losing sexual desire. And it's really shameful to actually admit that part of our confidence is based on whether we are still sexually attractive to our partner. Technically speaking, we shouldn't be proud of this kind of like attention, but we do sometimes. And that's menopause, it's like, how to say that? It's like something, it's always there lingering around, and you know it's coming someday, and you kind of scared because of the change to your bodies and your hormone levels, and you don't know if you still are going to, you know, be sexually active after that. So what are the proper ways? What are the proper ways, do you think, for us to deal with this something kind of unavoidable?
I think probably the biggest thing is, I would say, start with talking to your physician about, like, what is my body going through, or talking about, like, having this issue, and is this something that can be fixed and solved? When it comes to the other thing I think that happens for women as they go through menopause is body image issues. Like, maybe we were always a certain weight, a certain, you know, had a certain look or whatever. And all of a sudden, that's not there anymore. You're just like, what's going on? I can't get rid of this pouch. I have, you know, I can't, I'm working out and I just can't seem to get rid of this fat. Like, what's happening? And so that may be the time to call in a dietitian, or, you know, you may need to, you know, you need to figure out, like, what's my diet now? Like, you know, when you're 20, it's easy to, like, inhale a bag of Oreos and never gain weight. And, you know, and then all of a sudden you turn 40 and you're like, I looked at a cookie and I gained 5 pounds. Like, what's happening to my body?
Yes.
And so, so sometimes we have to figure that part out, that nutrition part out, and that makes us feel better. And then for some women, like I've worked with some women that have had body image issues after, you know, after they've gotten older, and they're like, you know, Renee, my breasts are sagging and I just don't look it. I'm like, you know what? Adorn them. Like, put some nipple, like, get some nipple jewelry, you know, get some waist beads, like, get something and adorn it and learn how to love that body that you're in, as opposed to fighting it. Like, we can't keep fighting our bodies. Like, at some point you gotta go, you know what, this is it. This is who I am, this is what I look like. And I just need to work on it. And it doesn't mean you can't do better. It means this is what it is right now. As I'm working on it, and I'm going to love it as is. And so I've sent people to places and like, go get some, you know, you don't have to pierce them, get them pierced, but I'm like, you can get some pierceless nipple clips and fun different things. And I'm like, and you know what? Now you've adorned your boobs. Like, and you'll love them more. You'll look at them like, these are kind of pretty. Like, I like them. You know, like, start shimmying all over the place. Like, you know, or you put on waist beads. Like, you're like, okay, I got this stomach. Put some beautiful colored waist beads on and just wear them. And it could be your secret. It's like, it's the thing that nobody knows, but you. Buy beautiful underwear. I cannot stress this enough. Get rid of the Hanes and the no offense, but like, leave those for something else. But get some really pretty sexy underwear that, again, you and your partner can see. Those kind of things help you to feel sexier about yourself, and you're kind of like, okay, I'm feeling pretty good today, you know. So I think those are some of the things I often tell women I'm working with as they're going through menopause, like, pretty yourself the way that feels good to you. That doesn't mean it works for everybody, but do what works for you to make you feel gorgeous. If it's lipstick, if it's getting your hair done, if it's, you know, nails, whatever.
Right. I have this like little habit. Like, I wear black clothes all the day. Like, my lingerie, they're black. I look so boring from the outside. But one thing that I really, actually two things that I really insist is I wear really, you know, fun and pinky, sometimes with different patterns or zebra patterns or leopard patterns socks, like every day to office. And I wear long nails. And that's, you know, as you said, when you really, you know, adorn yourself a bit, make yourself pretty, or you feel good in your own skin, then that's different. So we've been talking like about so much on helping people who are experiencing, you know, sexual discrepancy, right? Especially the party that wants more sex. So for the party that does not want so much sex, what can I do? What are the like communication tricks and they, how can we help them to reach a state that they feel like healthy and comfortable?
That's a great question. So for some people, it may not be that they don't want sex. That's not everybody. I'm saying
yes.
For some people, it may not be that. It may be that they want different sex.
Right.
And they haven't expressed that to their partner. So for instance, if you are the type of person who's like very, very sensual, you're like, I want bubble baths and rose petals and, you know, I want, you know, fresh linen sheets that smell like a Hawaiian breeze, and I want candles, and, you know, you're like that, but your partner's like, what I want is to have a ball gag in my mouth and spanked. That's what I want. And so it's not that they don't want it, it's that you want two different things. It's kind of like somebody speaking German and the other person speaking Japanese, and you two aren't, nobody knows the other's language. And so you're thinking, this person doesn't want to have sex. And they're like, no, they just want, they want something different. Mm. And so that's where you have to, this is where also a couple's pleasure mapping that I do comes into play too, because sometimes what I do is I'll ask the couple to, and it's, I use this tool. It's where you take these colored blocks and you label each block something. So it might be kissing, it might be oral sex, it might be penetrative sex, it could be anal, it could be whatever you want. And so, and I, they go in their separate ways. And I, sometimes what I say is, show, you know, I want you to graph out using the blocks a sexual experience that you didn't enjoy.
Mm.
And so they'll, you know, they may put down like all of these different things, like I didn't want this, or this was too short, this was way too long, or whatever. And then they come together and they see it and they're like, oh, I didn't know you didn't like that. You know, I didn't know. And then I have them do one that, like, their ideal, like if you could craft your perfect sexual experience, what would it look like?
Yes.
And they take those little blocks and they create that. They come back together and they're like, I didn't know you liked anal sex. I didn't know you wanted to be spanked. I had no idea you wanted to handcuff you. You know, so it's a way to talk about it without talking about it, right?
Yes.
So you don't have to sit down and have this awkward conversation of like, so do you like, you know, it's a way to have that conversation and say, oh, I didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things I do with couples too, is to have that conversation. So that's not everybody. Sometimes somebody, they just have different sex drives. Like sometimes people are just like, I gotta have sex every day. And mm-hmm. somebody's like, yeah, I can't have it once a month. Like,
yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
But I still maintain that sometimes I think it's because they're not getting the sex that they desire.
Exactly.
I really believe some of it is that.
Right.
They're like, they've had some type of sexual encounter. Like I joke about this a lot. So there are times when, so I have my vulva.
Wow. What is that?
It's a vulva pillow.
Oh my goodness. That's yeah. So funny. I love it. Love it. I should have one of those in my office.
Everybody's coming. So this is Vivian. This is the clitoral hood.
Yeah.
And the head of the clitoris sits under here. And a full clitoris, I'll show the little.
Oh my god. There is a little, like, is this like a little hair on it?
Yes, there's a little, little fuzz on the molds.
Oh my god, I love it.
And so this is an actual size of a clitoris.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
a little clitoris, right? Most of us only see, most times you only see like the head,
yes,
right here.
Yes.
And so what happens? I'll show the bigger one. What happens is sometimes your partner, I always say it's like, they're like a DJ, a '90s DJ. They're just like rubbing like this. They just rub it. And you're like, oh my God, stop. And so this is, because this is really sensitive. And after a while, you're like, that doesn't feel good. And so, but you don't know how to say it because you feel like you don't hurt their feelings. And
yeah.
So sometimes if you have that experience, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore, because every time we have sex, he gets down there and he does this DJ thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to tell him to stop that. And so I just don't have sex. And so sometimes I think people aren't having the sex they desire.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to talk about it and say, mm-hmm. I want to have this done and less of that. I want more of this and less of that. And so that's where I come in to help people have those type of conversations, because I think that's where the mismatch, the libido comes in. And the reality is, and I've told guys this, I said, let me be clear. If you knew that every time you went into sex, a sexual encounter, that 65-70% of the time you weren't gonna have an orgasm, would you do it?
Mm.
That's what women are into.
Yeah.
Like, we're walking into this, I don't know, I might come, I might not, I don't know. But I've gotten all dressed up and taken a shower and smell good, and it might be over in 8 seconds. Like, I don't want, you know, so sometimes it's not necessarily no libido,
mm-hmm.
it's getting the sex I want, yes. and I'm not having an orgasm.
Yes.
And that's right.
Yeah, sometimes about, you know, putting both of you in the right environment and dressing up, sending those sexy signals to one another. You know what?
Yep.
Let's get, we're ready and whatsoever. Instead of just say, you know, I'm feeling it. And that probably, you know, lead this conversation to a cul-de-sac. And it's going to be really frustrating for both parties. Well, thank you so much for coming like today, Renee. I love all these answers, demonstrations, and yeah, so many things. I think I have learned a lot today. And so if any of our like audience would like to reach you after this podcast, where should they go to?
So I just started a group. It's called the Pleasure Palace. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you the link. It's at school.skool.com/pleasure-palace. But I'll send you the link so you'll have all of my info. But that's where I want to gather people, especially people over 45, 50, like Gen Xers,
yes.
to talk about all of these issues in a safe space. And I'm planning to do, so I do videos in there. I review a toy every week. I want to do hot seats. That's the thing I want to be starting in the year, where a couple could come in and for 30 minutes, we're going to talk about your issue. We're going to get to the point. I don't need to hear all your backstory, but we're going to get right to the point of what's going on. And we're going to like laser focus on it and solve that issue. So I'd love for people to join me over in the Pleasure Palace.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you, Renee. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
It's been really fun, I especially the moment like you take out of the like vulva pillow. That's amazing.
I have stuff all over the place. Like
you should definitely show me around it. I'm really curious about where you live now. Right. We can schedule something up like sometime when you're free or something. And of course, if you want to do this again.
Yes, I'd love to. Yeah, just let me know.
Thanks. I hope it's not one of those, you know, we should do this again, then you don't do this anymore kind of scenario, because I hope I don't like make you feel bored or something. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we did this. I love it. I love it. All right. Well, I'm going to have a meeting in like 10 minutes, so I'm going to take a leak and grab some water. So feel free to like leave the meeting and I'll take care of everything.
All right, thank you so much, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sexopedia. If you're interested in exploring more topics related to us, the adult industry, sex education, and relationship issues, please check out loveneso.com. We have a wealth of information and resources that will satisfy your curiosity. Stay tuned for more captivating stories. Until next time.